This morning we want to look at a few verses in Ephesians 5. And there's a verse in Ephesians 5 that talks about understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I think one of the biggest questions in our life will be through the time of our accountability to God, or our commitment to God, to where we are at, wherever life is at, is how do I know that I'm living in the will of God? And we, as being young, some of you are probably looking for what is God's will in finding a job for yourself, or what is God's will in for you to, does God want you to go serve somewhere? Does God want me to spend my time in teaching school? Or you might be thinking, what is God's will in me finding a relationship partner? Like, there's so many questions that you ask yourself. What is God's will, and where does God want me to be presently, and where is he taking me? These are all questions that all of us, ask ourselves questions in some form or way. And if we are believers in God, in Christ, and we are Christians, we want to make sure wherever God takes, or wherever we are at, and whichever decision that we make in our life, that it's going to be that our decisions are going to be a decision that is going to be in God's will. It might be different from what your dream is or where you envision yourself, but even though you have a purpose and you have a place to go in life, even though God takes you down different paths, and sometimes the question comes to us, am I living in God's will? And that's a very good question for us to ask ourselves, because we don't want to be arrogantly just blowing through life and trying to do what's best for you as an individual, looking at it from a very humanistic way. We can become very selfish in our decisions that we make and what our motives are in life. And in Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I like how 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That is the will of God for you, even though life takes us different places. And one of the ways to, I know I've been in a lot of different situations in my life, and there's many times where I beg God, or I pray to God, that he would just reveal himself what his will is in a very loud, or I shouldn't say in a loud way, but very clear way, like that I don't have to guess, I don't have to wonder, this is what God wants me to do. And that's kind of how sometimes I'm geared. But we look at the life of Elijah, and if we look at Elijah and what he went through, his time of life, when to him it seemed like he was the only person, there's nobody else left but myself, is when the angel appeared to him at the cave. And this is shortly after he had just witnessed a very powerful witness of God's power in him calling upon God. When he prayed, he called Ahab and asked him to bring all the prophets, and we're going to build an altar, and we're going to put up stones, we're going to put wood on it, and you call on your gods. And this was he was trying to show the people who is the true God. And what he did is he told the false prophets of Baal, you call upon your God, and whoever lights this altar will be the true God. And he calls upon after the prophets had built the altar, And they started dancing and cutting themselves and praying to their God and asking their God to light this altar on fire. And they carried on for a long time. And we know the story that the altar never did light up. After a while, Elijah said, "All right, let's try my God." This is all just putting in my own words. He says, let's try my God. So they built an altar, put up the stones, put up the wood. And after he had done that, he asked him, "Pour some water over this wood." And after he had poured water on this wood, he said, "Let's do this again." And after a while, Elijah turned his face to God and says, "God," he called fire down from heaven, and God lit the altar. And we know how the flames licked up the wood, licked up the water. And after he had witnessed all this, that is after he feared for his life and he ran away. And he in the scripture in 1 Kings, I think it's 1 Kings 19, and it talks about how he was sitting there with his head between his knees. He was very discouraged. And when the angel came to him, he just said, "I am the only one that's left." He was discouraged because even though after he had witnesses, and we have to be mindful that a lot of the prophets had been killed, but he had witnessed a very powerful thing of God, and yet he was in this place. And we know the story of how God revealed himself. I'm going to turn to that in first. We won't take time to read through. I think it's 1 Kings. Oh. First Kings 11, and he said, "Go forth and stand." And this is God speaking to Elijah, and he says, "Upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Sometimes, like Elijah, wondering if God was in this big earthquake, or if God was in the wind, or if God was in the fire, but it was in a still small voice God came to Elijah. And if we want to understand the will of God, and if you want to want God's direction in your life, sometimes we believe, or I'm talking from my experience, I am expecting God to reveal himself in a really powerful way in my life. And sometimes God doesn't reveal himself in such a way. Sometimes God wants us to step back, and God wants us to listen with our heart. And it talks about the, in verse 15, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then in verse 7, he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." And being wise would be, is taking time to step back. And to, even if God comes to us in a small, still voice, if we, instead of us expecting this big God to just, and sometimes God reveals himself in a really powerful, in a very clear black and white way to us, but sometimes God wants us to step back and just listen. What is God trying to tell us? What's God trying to teach us? And one of the ways that God will reveal himself to you in your life, whatever situation you're at, is through the scripture. There is no better roadmap. There is no better there is no book out there. There is no podcast. There is no YouTube clip. There is none of these things that we can. We can turn to and try to better ourselves in reading these books. And some of that has its place. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place. But our first place should be looking into God's word and let God reveal himself to you what God's will is for you in your life. I like how 2 Timothy talks about verse 3. 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so when we are wanting God to reveal himself to us, and when we read God's scripture, and it says all scripture is given by inspiration, and a lot of that inspiration is by God speaking to us in a not in an audible voice, but in a quiet way, God may be speaking to you, and for doctrine, for reproof. And if we want to live in God's will, we're going to allow God's spirit to work in us. And sometimes it is the direction we're going or what we're doing, reading God's word, we'll know that we're kind of going off the course. This is not quite where God wants us to be. And he will bring us back. He will bring us back on course and will tell us, or son or daughter, whatever you, whoever you may be, God will come to us and say, this is not the direction I want you to go. And we need to listen to that voice that God's speaking to us. So we're going to take some time and read in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to just read to verse 5 at this moment. Ephesians 5, verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no warmonger, an unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So if we want to be, if we want to know what God's will is for us in our life, we need to be, verse 1, where it says, be therefore followers of God. That's who we need to be. We need to be imitators of who God is and the example that Christ has given us. And Paul talks a lot in Ephesians, if we were to go back to Ephesians 1 and go through it, Paul talks a lot about what Christ has done. Like that song we read, it's salvation is all about what God has done for mankind. And as we go further, advance further into Ephesians, and it starts talking what is our obligation as Christians, what we must do. And he uses so many practical, he talks about so many topics that we humans deal with. And he talks about what it means to be a Christian, both in faith and both in practice. And a lot of the time we can start looking at each other and say, well, my culture is different than someone else's. And I know the difference between culture. My culture is German. My background is German. So there's a lot of different ways how I look at some things. Then I look at my wife, and her culture is different than my culture. But that does not excuse me when I read this. God's word is for all of us, for myself, for all of us as believers in Christ. We can read God's word. We can take it. It doesn't matter where you come from, where I come from. But Paul is talking about, and when he says, be it therefore, he is saying, I beg you, is how I would interpret it. I beg you, or I'm pleading with you. Live your life to our heavenly calling. Where has God called you to be? And Paul is encouraging. He's looking at these verses and he's looking at the church there, and he writes the letter encouraging them to choose what is right. Choose to be where God is asking you to be. And we can sometimes get caught up. If we go back to Ephesians 2, this is who we were before we accepted Christ. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among them also we all have our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Okay, see, that is who we, this is us before we accepted Christ. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 19, in chapter 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. See the difference, the contrast between us being living our life to self and us living a life for Christ, being filled with the Spirit of God, being filled with the knowledge of God, being who God wants us to be. And how will I know? How do you know that you are following Christ's example? Is a question that I ask myself when I look through Ephesians here. It's like, how can I align my life with what God is asking of me and as a believer in Christ? And I think Paul answers that in the first few verses in Ephesians 5 that we looked at. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. We are called to be imitators, to being called to follow. And I would say the way he uses his followers of God is model our life, putting him own words, model my life to Christ's example when he was here on earth. Walk in love. And first in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, I'm bouncing between the beginning of Ephesians 2, Ephesians 5. There's so much practical advice that Paul is giving us in Ephesians, and it's hard. I think all of these verses just apply to us today. All of these verses, and in chapter 4, it talks about, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearance, forbearing one another in love. So we can talk about so when we talk about walk worthy of the vocation, that's, we can talk about the fruits of the Spirit if we were to go back to Galatians 5, and we can see the fruits of the Spirit. But in verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. What is forbearing? Forbearing one another in love. What Paul is saying here is that you live your life that exhibits or that portrays godly character. Walking as a godly man, a godly woman, walking with integrity and walking with gratitude for the gift of salvation. And we can sometimes get caught up in when we talk about forbearing one another in love, we can get caught up in all the different kinds of love that are out there. And we kind of throw the word love, we kind of throw it around and we apply it to different things. We apply it to someone that we really love. We apply, I really, really like someone, or I really love her, or I really love him. And the next thing, you know, we're talking about different kinds of food that are being prepared, and we'll use the same thing. I just love this dish, you know. And we use the different forms, but what Paul is the love that Paul is talking about is the agape love. And what he's saying here is that we need to walk worthy where God has called you to be, with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, tolerating one another in love. If we look at the picture of, if we think of being followers of Christ, like he says in verse 5, and as being followers of God, love as God has loved us, we see a prime example of that love being portrayed in the story of the prodigal son, the son that had rebelled against his dad. He had taken his wealth that his dad had given him, or his parents had given him. He had squandered every last bit of it. He was doing things that that was not approved of. And when the son realized his state in his life and what he had done, he come back to his father, and his father's reaction when he seen his son was with open arms. He welcomed his son back, and he desired that reconciliation between him and his son. And that is the kind of love that is talked about here in Ephesians 4. He says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that is, there was nothing that that the dad held over his son because of what he had done. And God does not hold that over us today either. Regardless of who you are, your background, your culture, your whatever may have happened in your life, God does not hold that over you. He is asking you to come forward to him and accept him. That is God's call. And that is, when we talk about, and I want to go back to this forbearing one another in love. And Paul uses this in verse 2 as a tolerance. And then I want to turn, if we go back to Ephesians 5, verse 2, it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So this doesn't sound like a tolerant. This is not only tolerating someone else. At first he says that you need to, when you forbear, you tolerate someone. But then here in chapter 5, he says, it doesn't stop there. It goes beyond just tolerating someone. It is, now it says, love, you need to love as a sacrifice. It is a selfless. It's a giving of yourself, even as God hath given himself. That is what Paul is saying, is if you want to know what God's will is in your life and you want to be a follower of God, you got to step it up beyond just tolerating your brother and your sister. It is, now you need to start, however we want to say it, loving unconditionally. And that is, to me, reading through Ephesians, that has, trying to understand what Paul is trying to teach, it is, he hits very close to home. And if we go back to verse 32 of chapter 4, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We can imitate God in a sense that God had a forgiving love. We need to be forgiving to each other as brothers and sisters. That is how we can follow Christ, is it's a sacrificial. That's you are not in the picture. God is in the picture. We can become very tempted to become very comfortable in the place where we're at. Day to day, month, week to month to year, things can just progress. But is our life reflecting this sacrificial love if we want to be a follower of Christ. It needs to. It ought to. Like 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 go, but as he which hath called you to be holy, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. And what is speaking here is our conduct. Is our godly character, is our character demonstrating who we are a follower of? And that is being separate from the ungodly ways. It is, our carnal nature is very quick to pop up and try to explain things. But God is saying, be holy as I am holy. So that is a challenge. It's a challenge to me. Paul is wanting us to understand, be like God, loving the way God loved, because the foundation of God's love is forgiveness. It all is about forgiveness. It is what God alone hath done in our life. It's not what I have done or what you have done. It is what God has done in the first place. We can be followers of God if we forgive one another. Love as Christ loved. And what Paul is trying to teach us here is to pattern our lives after God. Sacrificial forgiveness. There's a few verses in 1 John 4 I'd like to turn to. 1 John 4:7-11 goes this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Wherein is love? Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that points to the cross. What did Jesus do for us? Our life must be marked with a willingness to forgive. If we think about forgiveness and loving someone, Paul is not saying only to the ones that have demonstrated that back to us, or to the ones that have, that deserve your forgiveness. And that's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about it reaches to the ones that are undeserving, to the ones that you would think in your mind that you are justified with everything that you have done or what you could do. But that is laying your own self aside and forgiving. Even though those offenses came to you in a harsh way or your relationship was tested, we need to, if we want to be followers of God and be like God, we are going to have to be willing to forgive each other. I love how Paul says in Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3:17-19, but I want to start in verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all saints, which is the breadth
the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Here Paul is, he's saying, for this cause, I'm praying for you that you will be able to understand who God is and what God has done. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And I think of that is in your life, winds come and storms blow and things happen in your life. And some of the things are completely out of your control, but things happen. But are you that individual that's going to be being rooted? Is your life rooted in Christ enough that when things happen in your life, that your roots will just become stronger, that you'll be just become a better person? And what Paul is saying, that's only possible if you gain an understanding of who Christ is. Do you understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of who God is? And he's saying, my prayer is that you'll just be filled with the fullness of God, that you'll be able to understand what God's will is for you in your life. And that is my prayer this morning too. First Peter, there's another verse in First Peter I'd like to turn to. First Peter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And what he's saying here is, and so if we go back to what love actually means, and if we understand what Christ has done, and we're willing to lay ourselves down, then it says, if you have a fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And it says, if we lay our selfishness or ourself down, and we look at our brothers and sisters, we look at each other, and these little things, these little faults that happen among each other, because we're not perfect human beings, and there's faults, all of us have faults. I got plenty of those myself. But here it says that when you have a fervent love for someone else, and if you realize what God has done for you, and if you have a fervent love for someone else, then some of these little things that are happening, They shall be covered. It's not something that you'll be able to overlook them. And this should be our priority in our Christian life today, is what is our response going to be when in reality, in life, when we get tested and we are spoken ill of, or when offenses come to us in very small ways or in big ways, what is our response going to be? That's life. Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That needs to be our response. That should be my response. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is what defines our love for each other. And we can mirror and we can follow Christ. We can walk if we if we can mirror Christ in a sense that we can forgive each other and move forward in life. And I just love if we read, like Paul uses the walking in love and walking in the Spirit. It's an action. It's a constant. It's not being stale. It's about constantly striving to become a better person. Like how verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. It means walking with purpose. So if you want to be a follower of Christ, you have made a commitment to God and you want to follow him, then We need to step up. We need to walk through life with a purpose. Like 1 Corinthians 16 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity." And that is a call to stand up to the plate. Be the man that God wants us to be. Don't give in. Don't cower. But live lives that are going to be able to lift each other up, encourage each other to forgive one another because of what Christ has done for us. And I want to just close again with reading the first two verses of chapter 5. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved you, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." And that would be my prayer this morning, that we would have the agape love, the love that does not only, that a love that does not work on feelings, but a love that is expressed in our actions, how we live our life today. May God bless each one of you.